For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio. Happy New Year. I am very excited to be the host of the first Essentials of Healthy Living for 2012. We're, like always, going to have a great lineup for you in this year, just like we did last year. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. Today, I have a great show lined up for you. It's a topic that I think is really interesting, and in a lot of ways, there's not enough information out there about this topic. Or I would say not enough reliable information out there about this topic. Today we're going to be talking about oncology issues. These are cancer issues, and we're going to be talking about the role that natural medicine has in dealing with oncology issues. This is from, we're going to span everything from prevention, so reducing your risk of acquiring cancers. We're going to talk about the use of natural therapies when getting treated for cancers, and we're going to talk about natural therapies after cancer treatment is done. These are all very important phases of the cancer continuum. Number one, you want to prevent it. Number two, what can you do to support your body and support your health while you're going through conventional treatments? And then what can you do after conventional treatments are over with to ensure that your body stays as healthy as possible and is not change the dynamics of the body so it's not a friendly home for cancer cells to reduce risk of recurrence. And there's very good human-based clinical data on using natural therapies in all of these phases of cancer research. And this is just a really great show. And my special guest, Dr. Burdett, she worked for several years at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And I'm going to let her explain a little bit more about what it is. But it's basically a classic oncology-based facility that incorporates integrative and natural medicine as a core part of treatment for the patient. So every patient gets naturopathic care. They have access to acupuncture, massage, psychological counseling, nutrition. It really takes a holistic approach to dealing with the oncology issue, and it uses those therapies side by side with the most cutting-edge, research-based, traditional chemotherapy, radiation, oncology care available. So she's got a lot of amazing experience working in this field. So just going to do a brief intro for her. Dr. Burdett is a naturopathic doctor. She is a private practicing doctor in Atlanta, Georgia, working collaboratively with a group of medical doctors and other healthcare providers. She's a national speaker, so she's always touring the country doing education mainly to other physicians about cutting-edge aspects of the integrative and natural medicine field. She is also the founder of a lab that does cutting-edge nutrition testing, which we've talked about when she was a guest on the show previously, and it's a wonderful lab that I've been using very regularly in my own practice. And as I mentioned previously, she spent a couple years working at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, working side by side with oncologists, helping people deal on their journey through cancer treatment. So Dr. Burdett, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here with you.
So tell us a little bit about your experience at Cancer Treatment Centers of America and what you learned in regards to the place of natural medicine in this whole continuum of cancer care.
Cancer care was an area that I was drawn to early on, back when I was at naturopathic medical school. That's when I first decided that obviously that we were missing some part of the answer and felt pretty sure that natural medicine had something to add. So I worked very hard to end up at cancer treatment centers. There are a lot of people that are interested in that area of work. And so I did my residency there and then also worked there as well. And what I thought bared out to be true, that yes, there are natural therapies that are very well researched that we can use alongside conventional therapy to increase the effectiveness of it and decrease side effects. So I think that as I was first in school, and of course a champion of natural medicine, which I would not say that I'm any less a champion of now, but initially maybe my thought was that there's some magic bullet, there's some natural therapy out there, there's some piece that we're missing that will cure all cancer. And while I think that that is a reality, or at least to think about a permanent remission, or to think about managing a condition like we manage diabetes, not that you cure it, but that you can live with it day to day and that you can manage it and that you can do things to prevent the progression, I don't think the answer comes all from one side. I think that there is wisdom in the conventional therapy, but there are ways to marry it with the integrative therapies to, like I said, make it work better, to improve our immune system, and minimize side effects to a person. And the research bears that out. So some of the therapies that we're used to, like chemotherapies and chemotherapy and radiation, work quite well. But the problem is, are we able to handle the side effects? And this is where natural therapy really, really shines, minimizing side effects and allowing people to continue their treatment. If we look at curves that talk about where we get the best outcome from conventional treatment, they talk about really making it to the end of that treatment regimen, not receiving one dose or two dose, but really the full amount of treatment. And so anything that we can do to help someone make it to the end ultimately improves their survival. And that's not just my idea. There are plenty of pieces of research, like the Journal of International Medical Research in 2009. They looked at people that were combining natural therapies alongside conventional therapy, and what they found was there was an increase in survival time of over 40%. And what they also saw was that there were less side effects at the same time. So the data really supports what would seem intuitive to us, that when we build the system up, when we give the body nutrients it needs, that we're able to feel better, live longer and live healthier, and even make therapies work better.
So thank you for summarizing, and I'm, you know, great to know that you have that experience and to know that there are places like Cancer Treatment Centers of America that are incorporating these therapies together to really understand, you know, what the benefits are and how these integrated therapies are affecting outcomes in people going through cancer care. Because as we would all, you know, agree and understand, most people who are diagnosed with an oncological issue and go see their oncologist or hematologist to lay out a treatment plan, it is definitely very rare that any kind of integrative therapies are mentioned in that process. And really, what I'd like for you to touch on a little bit, oftentimes it's the exact opposite, where the oncologists and the hematologists are extremely resistant and really adamant about not wanting people to engage in any other therapies besides the chemotherapies, based on the fact that they feel sometimes antioxidant therapies can negatively affect how the chemotherapy works, because chemotherapy oftentimes works by creating oxidative stress, and really a lot of misunderstanding and not understanding the research or looking at the research, but wanting in their own defense to ensure that there's no other variables in this case. So it's a really contentious issue. And I see a lot of people, you know, coming to me or coming to other naturopathic doctors who are, you know, sort of going to natural medicine and hiding it from their oncologist or hematologist, yeah, because they basically have said, they told me I shouldn't do anything else but what they wanted, but I believe that this is what's best for me. So you know what they don't know isn't going to hurt them. This is my body. This is my decision. And really, you know, what the clinical data is telling us is that if executed properly under the care of the right person who's had the proper training, who understands what to do, we see improved outcomes. So how did the stigma get to be, Dr. Burdett? You know, what's your approach to dealing with it? And really kind of, you know, if you could shed a little bit of light on this whole idea of, you know, the conventional field being very afraid of using any sort of integrative therapies when it comes to dealing with cancer issues.
Well, and I think that was probably more accurate 10, 20 years ago, that there wasn't the research, and so we just didn't know. And so the oncologists are operating from a place of really from the heart, that these are their therapies and these are the tools they have, and they don't want anything to diminish the effectiveness of the tools they have, especially when the tool can be so hard on the system, like a chemotherapy or a radiation. If we're going to that length to treat, then we want to get the maximum outcome from it. But I think that day of this is no longer in the research is just not a reality anymore. So, for example, the NIH, the National Institute of Health, that is the one that gives a lot of grants to looking at different ways of treating cancer as well as many other conditions as well. If you look at where the funds are going, where the research is these days, what you'll see is that the research is directed towards a lot of these integrated therapies. It's moved, not that they're not studying chemotherapy and radiation and ways to make that smarter and more targeted, because they are, and even those things that sound so daunting have really improved. Radiation's a great example of that, that it's much more focused than it used to be, much less scatter, meaning that you don't hit other tissue as much. So in those areas, improvements. But in addition to that, you see that the NIH is now putting more funding towards immune therapies, different what I'll call vaccine therapies, things that stimulate the immune system to recognize cancer cells. So there's really been a shift in what was researched and why. So first of all, you now see more emphasis in by the NIH or by integrative practices to do this style of research. That last piece that I talked to you about from 2009 isn't an isolated example. There are many meta-analyses that look at where people combine different nutrients or antioxidants with chemotherapy, not in rats, not in dishes, but in humans, and found positive outcomes when we do that. But I can understand why an oncologist might feel daunted by this, because it's enough already to keep up with changes in chemotherapy, to keep up with changes in supportive therapies to help somebody get through this. And so it can be overwhelming to now think about how do I manage diet alongside that, or combining things like vitamin C or vitamin E or glutathione. How do I fit this whole picture together? And that's where I think some place like Cancer Treatment Centers has really put forth a good model for us. So even if one person's not directing every part of that, at least having somebody to refer to. And I think in 10 or 20 years, this will be the standard of care. Because, my sister, who actually does primary cancer research, she works on ovarian cancer in academia in a lab, and she has said to me, Cheryl, you know, it's no wonder that we haven't found the answer for cancer yet. Back in the 70s, Nixon declared this war on cancer. And yes, we're seeing improvement in survival, but in general, many attribute that to better screening and catching things earlier rather than big advances in treatment. And what she says to me is, you know, it's no wonder that we don't have the answer yet, because we're looking for this one therapy, one treatment approach for one outcome. And she talks about how cancer is so multifactorial, so many different genes involved, tumor, oncogenes, so many cell signaling pathways, that just this whole change in biochemistry that happens, that to try to block one piece is never going to get to the answer. So when you look at people who have a prevented cancer, or if they're in that spot of needing to treat cancer, when you look at those people that tend to have better outcomes, it tends to be the person who is able to treat in a more holistic manner, i.e. change their diet, maximize the efficacy of the therapy, and then do things to change the environment of the body so the cancer doesn't come back once they're done with treatment. So I understand the hesitancy of an oncologist, because they want their patient to do as well as possible. So they want to know that nothing is interfering with their therapy, and I would agree with that. But now we have the benefit of referring to the research and looking at things that have been combined alongside conventional care to improve their efficacy. So a good example of that is something that we've probably all heard of, melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone that we produce at night. It helps us to go to sleep at night. However, beyond the sleep ramification, there are many studies, again, in human trials, not in dishes, not in rodents, that show when we combine melatonin with a number of different chemotherapeutics, a number of different chemotherapy agents, that it does not decrease their efficacy. This is interesting because melatonin in and of itself is an antioxidant, so it's an example of an antioxidant that's been researched alongside chemo and has been shown to make it work better. Also, it minimizes some of the side effects. So there are a number of studies that talk about a complaint that many patients will have with chemotherapy is something called chemo brain or brain fog. You don't think as clearly, you just don't feel as well. And melatonin seems to offset that chemo brain. I've I talk about, we talk about some of the botanicals that we really enjoy or nutrients that we really enjoy. Melatonin is one of those that I'm very fond of. Back at cancer treatment centers over a decade ago, started using it routinely there and just seeing people's quality of life being so much higher as they did that, because beyond chemo brain, as you can imagine, chemotherapy can make us more uncomfortable, and discomfort makes it harder to sleep at night. And if we're not sleeping at night, our immune function's not as good. So something that we would use routinely there, and you use it in higher amounts when you're using it to treat cancer. Versus
so, Dr. Burdette, we got to take
no
a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the prevention side. I want to focus on a few other really key nutrients that you saw used over and over and over again in the Cancer Treatment Center of America model. And I stress that model because I really feel, based on the fact that you had so many collaborative physicians working together, really looking at the human clinical trial research, the things that you were using routinely there are generally recognized as safe in our practices that I think most people can safely incorporate into their integrative cancer care without worrying about really pushing the boundaries of some things that you know, where natural medicine maybe shouldn't be combined with chemotherapy. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Megafood premium whole food supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my co-host Dana Lake will return next week. Happy New Year to everyone. We're happy to be here with you every single Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you the best and cutting-edge news on health and wellness. You can always remember that you can stream and download every previously recorded show for absolutely free by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and clicking on the archive show section. Today we're talking with Dr. Cheryl Burdette. and we're discussing this topic, what I would call sort of integrative oncology, which is really the topic of how do you safely incorporate natural therapies into traditional approaches to dealing with cancer. And in the last segment, we discussed some of Dr. Burdett's experience working side by side with oncologists in a way to enhance outcomes, and how a lot of broad spectrum human clinical trials have shown that incorporating integrative therapies, the appropriate ones, into traditional oncology care improves survival significantly in many patients who are dealing with cancer issues. Just a quick caveat, you know, I mean, this topic can be sort of a hot button topic, and I know there's a lot of scrutiny from the FDA regarding different natural therapies that are said to treat or cure cancer. And I just want everybody to understand that that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about using some type of herb or some type of natural protocol to deal with a cancer once it is already set in. We're talking about using natural therapies to improve outcomes from traditional approaches to dealing with cancer. And really, you know, there is not a lot of deep clinical human trials showing that only natural approaches to cancer issues works well. So I do not advocate it, and I don't think any responsible physician would. Where there is good clinical data and where there is good research is showing that using natural therapies in combination with traditional oncology care does improve outcomes if you're using the correct things. Now, we've talked a little bit about in the last segment some of the resistance from oncologists to patients when patients decide to use natural therapies. And as Dr. Burdett discussed, some of this is warranted. You know, some chemotherapeutic agents work specifically by creating lots of oxidative stress to kill the cells. And in those types of situations, you really do need to be careful about which natural therapies you take while using those chemo agents, because they may negatively affect the outcomes, which is why it's so critical that if you're interested in using natural therapies alongside your traditional chemotherapeutic agents or radiation protocols, you need to work with somebody who has experience in this field, who has trained with other oncologists or has done the research necessary to understand what you should do and shouldn't do from a natural perspective to make sure that we're maximizing the effectiveness of the traditional therapies, helping the body through the treatments, which is basically what we're talking about today. So, Dr. Burdett, I want you to talk a little bit more about, we didn't really get into this in the first segment, but it makes sense to discuss some aspects of prevention. You know, I mean, what can we do to head off? There's a lot of healthy people out there who have a strong family history of cancer or are approaching ages where they know they're at the highest risk for breast cancer or prostate cancer. They're really trying to figure out, what can I do to ensure that I don't end up in an oncologist's office with some type of issue going on? What do we know from the research about what are the most convincing things that we can do from a natural perspective, diet, lifestyle, supplements, that really show good outcomes when it comes to actually preventing this issue in the first place?
And I think that's where the data really shines. Prevention is an area that we need to be thinking of, and we need to be thinking of early, because, you know, the treatments are invasive, and certainly sitting in a doctor's office being told that we have a diagnosis of cancer is not where any of us want to be, and because the data is so strong on the side of prevention. I routinely quote to my patients a statistic from the American Cancer Society, and so American Cancer Society would not be considered, would not be considered a very radical group, very mainstream information. And they talk about regular exercise, and when we define regular exercise, that's at least 5 times a week for 30 minutes, decreases our risk of cancer by half. That's dramatic. That's extraordinary. So more so than, as I talk to patients, than any pill, powder, or potion, something in a bottle, some magic cure, something from the back of a catalog that we ordered for $100 a month. It is just the basics of exercise. And beyond the cancer prevention, the exercise decreases our risk of dementia. Some people say up to 60%. Some research says up to 60%. Maintaining a normal BMI, so maintaining a normal weight, also has been shown to decrease cancer and to decrease conditions of what are called comorbidities. So those are things like high blood pressure, diabetes, etc. So really, in the forefront is basic exercise, and that does not have to be running marathons, 30 minutes a day, five times a week. And that doesn't even have to be all at one time. That can be 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. That can be some sit-ups done during a commercial break of a favorite TV show. That can be some hand weights that you pull out while you're waiting for, you know, someone to deliver a package or something of that nature. So all kinds of ways that we can work in these little pieces of exercise that are just quite profound in overall prevention. Outside of that, the next piece is, of course, diet. And that can be confusing. We'll read 12 different diet books and they'll say 12 different things. But really, when you really look at what most of that diet advice is saying, whether or not it's saying low fat or low carbohydrate or make your diet more alkaline, less acidic, so on and so forth, when you look at what causes those shifts, it's predominantly more vegetables in the diet. So if you are going to do one thing, I think it's just as easy as when you sit down to eat, half your plate should be vegetables, and then almost regardless of what you fill the other half with, if that is majority of your diet, you're setting yourself up for extreme success in terms of prevention. So look for things with color, things like squashes and carrots that are high in carotenoids. Look for your leafy greens that have good folic acid in it. Look for things like beets that are high in vitamin C. And then the more that we can make our diet predominantly reliant on vegetables, the better we're going to be. And again, that would be consistent with a low-fat diet. That would be consistent with a low-carbohydrate diet. That would be consistent with some who say your diet should not be acidic, that it should be more alkaline. It all boils down to the same thing. So we would talk to people at cancer treatment centers about when you go to a grocery store, shop the perimeter, walk around the outside of the grocery store, not the aisles where the bags and boxes are, but things that are in their whole form. Buy things that are as close to their whole form as possible, so it should still look like it came off the plant from the tree or the vine rather than being processed and milled over and changed in its shape and size and consistency. And so really those basic truths hold. A second thing is, in addition to eating a diet high in vegetables, focusing on more organic in our diet. And that can be tricky because it's not always available everywhere, and certainly it can have a price tag attached to it. But I think that that the more that we can avoid things like pesticides and hormones in our food, the more we can reduce toxic exposure to our body, the better off we're going to be in terms of prevention. Because when we're ingesting things with toxins, that's what can cause these hits to our DNA. And it's those hits to the DNA, the brain of the cell, that cause that to morph and change. And when that changes, that can be what switches a normal cell to a cancer cell. So the more we can keep those out of our body, the more preventative we can be.
And I really, you know, want to discuss some of the aspects of diet and exercise. About 2 years ago, I went to a convention in California that was specifically about integrative medicine and cancer research and cancer issues. And it was really interesting. There were oncologists, physicians from all over the world. Over 500 different physicians convened for this seminar. And the most cutting-edge research on cancer prevention and cancer treatment was presented at this seminar. And although nutrition, diet, and exercise are not the sexiest thing that come about when we think about cancer treatment, and really what we, you know, tend to want to focus on are things around what pill or supplement we can take and really kind of making it happen that way, the overwhelming research showed that diet and exercise was the key most important issue when it comes to prevention, and in many ways when it comes to preventing recurrence. And that's what's interesting. It's not just philosophical. You've heard a million times that diet and exercise can help you, but now we actually have so much valuable clinical data showing that diet and exercise is a really key strategy in preventing cancer-related issues. So do not underestimate the importance. When it comes to the organic food piece, I agree with Dr. Burdett. I think anytime we can minimize exposures in our environment, it's important. Although we can't always link toxic exposures to every case of cancer, we do know and we do see very clear links between specific types of exposures and specific types of cancer. So we know that toxins in our environment, toxins that can be found even in the food that we eat when it's not grown organically, can induce cancerous states in people who are exposed to high amounts of it. But what does it mean for us when we're exposed to low levels throughout our entire life, and the cumulative effect that it might have on our cells and on our DNA, and the predisposition of our cells and our DNA to go haywire and potentially start some type of cancer-like process? Time will only tell and be able to help us understand the effects of these things on our body. And really, in reality, we're this very young experiment, a test tube in our bodies about how we're reacting to these chemicals. Because the reality is, 150 years ago, most of these chemicals did not exist and were not persistent in our diet and in our lives. And so it will only be time, maybe another 100 years or so, where we can look back and really understand how these things affected us, in the same way that many people never really understood at first that smoking cigarettes was a risk factor for lung cancer. These are things that now is so common knowledge, it seems ridiculous that we didn't even know that, but I'm sure a lot of this information will come to light as we truly understand the impacts of all of these chemicals we introduced into our environment over the last 100 or 150 years and how it affects our body. When we come back from the break, hopefully we'll have Dr. Burdette back on the line. What I really want to focus on are some more specific nutrients. She briefly had talked about melatonin and the role that it had played in her work at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. There are some other very important nutrients that every single person going through chemotherapy or radiation needs to consider taking to help support their body, minimize side effects, and improve outcomes. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, a health and wellness pharmacy located right here in Bethesda, Maryland. They've been providing health and wellness services as well as traditional pharmacy and compounding pharmacy services to the Bethesda community for over 40 years. It's a wonderful place to go to get any of your health and wellness needs met. They have an incredible staff of pharmacists, compounding pharmacists, nutritionists, herbalists, anybody you could think of that you would need to discuss health and wellness issues with. So it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go. Today, we've been talking with Dr. Cheryl Burdett. She's a naturopathic doctor with a private practice in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a nationally renowned speaker, just telling me, I think this year it was 15 cities she hit and 3 countries in her speaking tour, so I guess an international speaker, mainly lecturing to doctors regarding issues upon cutting-edge advances in natural medicine. She's also the founder of a lab that provides cutting-edge nutritional testing specifically around oxidative stress, which I find extremely fascinating and very clinically useful for many of my patients. And she also spent time with her residency and working at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which is basically they have, I think, 3 main hospitals and several other facilities around the country where they marry traditional oncology and radiology treatments with integrative care, utilizing naturopathic doctors, acupuncturists, psychotherapists, nutritionists. It's a one-stop shop, so patients go and they truly get an integrative approach to their cancer treatment, which, as Dr. Burdett pointed out in the first segment of the show, there's been a meta-analysis research suggesting that this can improve survival by 40% when you include integrative therapies to traditional care if it's done appropriately. So, in this segment, you know, Dr. Burdett had talked a little bit in the first segment about melatonin. In this segment, Dr. Burdett, I would love for you to touch on a few other nutrients that were sort of mainstays of treatments at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, mainstays of treatment that we know usually can be safely incorporated with traditional oncology approaches to help improve outcomes. So maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the different nutrients you've seen helpful.
Yeah, and when we stop to think about this, often we think about evolutionarily what it was a diet that was most appropriate for human beings. And some will even say that the diet that we used to eat, you saw less incidence of cancer. Now, that could well be because people didn't live as long, so there is certainly a confounding variable there. But one that comes to mind when we're looking at how we used to eat in the past versus how we eat now, and also that has a preponderance of both prevention as well as treatment research, are fish oils, omega-3 fatty acids. And some of this epidemiological evidence talks about how we used to get much higher amounts of omega-3s, especially in comparison to some of the other fats that we get now, like omega-6s that come from corn or other grains that we tend to have more of in the diet. I was looking at a piece of research that talked about in the past, we used to have more about of a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, whereas now in our diet, it's more like a 1-to-10 or even a 1-to-20-to-25 ratio. So an imbalance of these fats. This piece of research was talking about how that correlates with people's brain function, because our brain is 85% that omega-3 fat, and it was talking about why this might be a reason that there's more hostility or aggression or even depression. However, many people have talked about it as also being a risk factor in terms of cancer as well, that it has many preventative properties. One part of that is that omega-3s are very anti-inflammatory, and we know that inflammation is essentially a fire, and if there's an ongoing fire in the body, if there's ongoing inflammation in an area, it can disturb that tissue, it can damage the DNA, it can be part of what shifts a normal cell into a cancer cell. And then even with a diagnosis of cancer, something like a fish oil is quite helpful. For one, good levels of fish oils, omega-3 fatty acids, help to maintain a normal body weight. Now, when we're talking prevention, maintaining that normal body weight can mean it even helps with some weight loss. It stimulates a part of the cell called a peroxisome that chews up fat. So I'll often use this as something to add to someone's diet when we're working on weight loss. And like we talked about earlier, maintaining normal body weight is one of the best things that we can do in terms of prevention of cancer. But if we have a diagnosis of cancer, interestingly, and speaking kind of to the wisdom of something natural, it helps us to maintain weight. Because one thing you don't want to see happen with a cancer, especially a metastatic cancer, is too much weight loss too quickly. That's called cachexia, where we start to waste away, losing muscle mass. And that's associated with end-stage cancer, and that's something to really be concerned about when you see that happen. Something as simple as a fish oil and omega-3 can help to reverse cachexia. This is another example that, like we talked about earlier, where we do have information using this alongside different chemotherapeutic agents. Like you were pointing out earlier when we were at commercial break, that there are studies with something called DHA, one of the types of omega-3 fatty acids that even potentiates some chemotherapies. 5-FU is an example of one that the omega-3s make it work better. So if you can use the fish oil to make the chemotherapy work better, then by all means we should consider it. And again, this is another one of those examples where it will also minimize side effects. We talked about cachexia, weight loss, but another big side effect that it can minimize is neuropathy, numbness or tingling in the extremities. So sometimes chemotherapy can be hard on our nerves, and it can cause that loss of sensation. Using the omega-3 fatty acids is protective. Just like I mentioned, omega-3s are the same fat that are in the brain. They're also one of the fats that makes up the outside of the nerve called the myelin sheath. So the more we can build that up, the more we can protect the nerve from the damage of a chemotherapy, which means that we'll have better quality of life. Again, we talked about earlier when people are undergoing chemotherapy that can also result in some of that brain fog, chemo brain, or depression. I mean, a diagnosis of a cancer would have to come with some element of depression, and omega-3s are useful in all these areas, keeping our focus and concentration strong, keeping our mood up, keeping inflammation down, keeping the appropriate amount of weight on, and still even having other mechanisms that it can address a cancer. It decreases angiogenesis. That's the process by which a cancer cell brings more blood flow to its area, so it helps to cut that off. It can reduce fibrinogen. That is a marker in our blood that dictates the thickness of the blood. And when the blood is thicker, when fibrinogen goes up, that makes it easier for cancer cells to move around. So the fish oils will bring that down. And it decreases inflammation, too. So a nice therapy from prevention to treatment that has just a wide array of outcomes. And again, I'll refer back to my sister, the other Dr. Burdett, who does cancer therapy, talking about it's no wonder we don't have the answer, because we're looking for this one tool, one bullet, one outcome. Well, think about something like the fish oil in contrast that can cut off the blood supply, that protects the nerves, that protects the brain, that can potentiate the chemo, and that can help us in this whole host of ways.
Yeah, that's great, great point. We talk about fish oil and omega-3 fatty acids so much on this show, so it's great to relate them specifically to this issue. What about some other nutrients, Dr. Burdett? For example, glutamine.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of glutamine, and again, this is one that we can back up and start all the way from prevention to treatment as well. So glutamine is one of the major amino acids that builds up our gut lining. So the gut, meaning the tube from top to bottom, from the mouth all the way to the bottom, our esophagus, our stomach, but in particular, our small intestine and large intestine. And glutamine is a necessary component of building up that border there. That's important because this is how we do all of our absorption. So you might think, well, why is she talking about gut when this is about cancer? But if we're not absorbing nutrients like we should, then we're not putting ourselves in the best prevention model that we could be in. So we can use glutamine before any kind of diagnosis of cancer to make sure that when we do eat that healthy meal, when we're eating our fruits and vegetables, that we're getting the full benefit of that into our system. Then glutamine is another one that is probably, this research is even dated by at least a decade now. Great studies with a particular chemotherapy, Taxol, using glutamine alongside it. In this case, we use higher doses of glutamine, up to 10 grams as a therapeutic dose there. And when it's used alongside Taxol, it increases its efficacy and, again, decreases side effects. Taxol is another one that can cause more of that neuropathy, and using the glutamine alongside that can prevent it. Another big area that glutamine has benefit is maintaining good weight during cancer therapy. And again, when we think about cancer therapy, when we think about chemotherapies, we know that they can cause people sometimes to be nauseous or have a diminished appetite. And if weight loss is associated with end stage, then being nauseous and having a loss of appetite is absolutely something that we want to prevent. The glutamine can really be helpful there in terms of absorption and maximizing those calories in. Also, many integrative oncologists will use high-dose glutamine to prevent that cachexia as well. So a lot of different ways that we can use that glutamine, both for prevention as well as treatment.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it's not characterized as an antioxidant. It's just a simple amino acid. There is, you know, and this is why you have to work with someone who knows what they're doing. In certain types of cancer, specifically brain cancers, there is some concern that glutamine converts to glutamate, and glutamate can actually potentiate certain types of brain cancers, only specific kinds. So it is important to work with someone who knows when to say yes and when to say no to certain nutrients based on the chemotherapeutic agents that are being used and based on the type of cancer that the person is dealing with. But, I mean, those are two great nutrients to consider when dealing with oncology type issues. And there are lots of people trained who can help guide you through what nutrients are the most appropriate for you to take when you're going through a chemotherapy or radiation regimen. So we're going to have to take another quick break. When we come back, I want Dr. Burdett for you to talk a little bit about what to do once the dust has settled. There's a lot of people out there who, you know, have successfully been through cancer therapy, whether they used integrative treatments or not during it. Their cancer is in remission, or, you know, they're past the 5-year mark and maybe looking at possible, you know, the word of cure, or really doing very, very well, or they're just finishing up with chemotherapy and radiation and their oncologists are just basically saying, okay, now we need to just watch and wait, continue to monitor, continue to do your scans and look for any recurrence. But they're really wanting to implement some type of insurance plan or look to integrative or natural medicine to say, what can I do to improve the overall health of my body to make it a less likely place for a cancer to recur. And there are some really important and valuable recommendations for that. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be picking that up. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back in just a minute.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will return next week. Today, we've been talking with Dr. Cheryl Burdett about integrative approaches to oncology issues. I think, hopefully, we've gotten some really good information across to you and some great ideas. Really, I think the most important thing that I want every single listener to get out of the show is that there are very specific things you can do for prevention that are well proven. And as Dr. Burdett talked about, it really focuses around diet and exercise. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not easy, but it really is proven. Also, I want people to understand that integrative approaches and integrative therapies, when combined with traditional oncology approaches, have been clinically validated to improve outcomes. What you need to do is find somebody who knows what they're doing and work with them. There are people out there. If you are wondering who might be helpful, call the Village Green. We have lists of practitioners and doctors who are very well experienced in working side by side with people going through traditional therapies to help them figure out what's going to work best for them. Now, in this segment, Dr. Burdett, I'd like you to talk a little bit about, you know, what should people be thinking about once the treatment's over? You know, they had a great response. They had some surgery, had a tumor removed. They had chemo. They had radiation. Everything looks clean. The doc says, okay, you made it through your treatments. Congratulations. They pat you on the back, out the door. And now it's like, okay, we watch and wait. We see what happens. Come back for your annual checkup. We'll do a scan. We'll look at your body, see if this cancer's coming back. Everybody who's had cancer knows that they're at a higher risk of dealing with it again. And everybody that I've ever met that's had a cancer issue always has some level of fear or concern about what if this comes back, because they know they're at higher risk and they know that if it comes back, treatment is oftentimes more difficult and sometimes it doesn't come back to the same place. It comes back somewhere else and it's always trickier to treat. So what can people do to ensure, or, you know, I know there's nothing that's 100% proven, but what are some ideas that you have or that you've seen be useful for people in helping to prevent a cancer from coming back once they successfully treated it?
And I think this is really where the gap in standard of care is, because we have made strides in terms of treatment and we have definitive research in terms of prevention, and we know power pack the diet. Like I talked about earlier, American Cancer Society says exercise 5 times a week for 30 minutes decreases your risk of cancer by half. Put nutrients in the diet. Cook with things like turmeric, a spice that's in curry that decreases risk of cancer. Drink green tea. That has great prevention research. Eat broccoli. That has a compound called sulforaphane. If you went and looked at medical research, you could find over 600 studies that talk about it in terms of prevention and some treatment. And so we've made gains in our understanding of prevention. We've made gains in also in our treatment, but it's then, like you said, when that last chemotherapy is wrapped up and someone is screened and they're told, there's no cancer in your body, I'll talk to you again in 3 months, 6 months, or a year. And this is where people say, but what can I do? How can I be empowered to make sure this doesn't come back again? And so I think, yes, absolutely, visit those ideas of diet and exercise, and that is at the front of your list. And then capturing a picture of the environment that the cancer grew in initially so that you can change that environment so it doesn't come back. One part that we haven't spoken about at all, which is important, is certainly the mental-emotional component. We don't exist in little compartments, the brain, the heart, the thyroid, the kidneys. It all interacts, and we know that stress can certainly be a part of not only cancer, but reducing it, cancer prevention. When I would take a history at cancer treatment centers, and I still work with cancer every day here at my current practice, when you ask patients, was there a stressful event that happened 3 to 5 years ago, almost all the time people will say yes, and then they look at you like you're some kind of mind reader or something. But that evidence is very clear that stress can be a reason for an occurrence or even a reoccurrence. So what I like to talk to patients about is, how do we think about their environment where it grew, and how do we change that? So we take a detailed diet history. We work on lowering sugar and increasing vegetables. For example, we know that people that are diabetic, who have a higher incidence of cancer. Conversely, we know that people that treat their diabetes then have a lower incidence of cancer. So that link between too much sugar and an ability to potentiate a cancer state is really building in the evidence. And then people will often say, well, I went to my yearly physical. Here are my test results. What thing on here tells me if I'm at risk of cancer? And unfortunately, while that screening is good in terms of telling us disease or late-stage disease, there's not a lot that's set up on there in terms of prevention. And that's kind of what you see with the model of healthcare in general, is that, yes, we're good at treating, but when we get to that part about prevention, that's where we're lacking. So this is why, as a clinician and then someone who has now started a lab, really seeing a need for how can we tell if we're getting enough antioxidants? Again, we know things like green tea and blueberries and carotenoids from vegetables, but how can I say, am I getting enough for my system at this moment in time under the current stress level that I'm at, under the current metabolic needs that I'm at? So despite what we might think, there are some well-researched markers that will say, either I'm getting enough antioxidants or I'm not. So maybe names that aren't quite so catchy, things like 8-hydroxy-2-deaguanosine, which is a simple urinary marker. It's something that goes up in the urine when there's more damage to our DNA. Well, damage to the DNA is one of the things that can initiate a change from a normal cell to a cancer cell. So by capturing a simple snapshot from a first morning urine, we can say, okay, did I get enough green tea? Did I get enough blueberry? Am I doing enough dietarily? Or do I need to think about some other supplements to lower my risk? So we are now learning that there are prevention markers that we can look at before we get to the state of a cancer in general. And so that might be one thing that we do. Another thing that we might look at might be some blood tests that tell us if we're reactive to foods. Even though a food might be healthy, if we are reacting to it, if there's an inflammatory reaction, then that's not healthy for our system. So I'll look at some food allergy profiles so that we can tailor diet to each person. This also kind of eliminates that confusion of I've read 12 books, they say 12 different things. Well, from a snapshot of the blood, we can say, what are you reactive to? What are healthy foods for you? And then looking at things like how our adrenals responding. Adrenals are little glands that sit on the kidneys. They make our adrenaline and they respond to stress. So the better our stress response, the better our diet, the better our antioxidant load. We can combine all these things together to make sure that we're doing everything that we can for each individual in terms of prevention.
Yeah, those ideas certainly make a lot of sense and are really great ideas. And understanding what you can do personally to tailor it, I think are really the best suggestions so that everybody understands the unique subset of issues that occurred in their body that maybe set up an environment for cancer to grow and try and reverse that. So really important to look at the diet, the nutrition aspect. Of course, exercise, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, comes right back around. I believe I've seen statistics, and I'd have to get the exact quote on it, but something about almost a 40% reduction in recurrence rate in breast cancer in people who stay active, even during the treatments and after the treatments. These are numbers that you can't achieve, as Dr. Burdette said at the beginning of the show, with any pill, potion, or any type of drug. It really is the lifestyle aspects that come into play, because we know that exercise improves your immune function. We know that it improves the activity of your natural killer cells. We know that it helps buffer and deal with stress. And these are things that we know increase our risk of developing certain types of cancer. So we can't always figure out why people get cancer. There are plenty of people out there who eat good diets and are very healthy in their lifestyle and still get cancer. But we know when we look at it from a really broad general perspective, there are some very effective tools that you can implement on a daily basis that ensure that you are doing everything you can to help prevent these issues from either happening in the first place, as we talked about at the beginning, or recurring if you've already dealt with them. And again, working with a doctor who's comfortable ordering more alternative or more cutting-edge tests that look at some of these functional markers in the body, it can help us understand what the environment is inside every cell. And if we can understand that environment and identify problems, we can implement therapies that reverse those problems and create a healthier place in the body to begin with. So, Dr. Burdette, any closing remarks before we head off? We're just about out of time.
I don't think it's a mystery. I think we need to eat right, we need to exercise, we need to get good sleep, and we need to reduce our stress, and then we need to figure out how each individual can do that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Burdette, for being on the phone with us today. We really appreciate all of your wonderful insights. So everybody, Happy New Year again. Thank you so much for tuning in. That wraps up today's show for the Essentials of Healthy Living. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Don't forget to tune in next week for Dana Lake Show. And this is Dr. Kevin Passero wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.